Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from John chapter 11. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. This is the text. When pastors are giving long gospel readings like John chapter 1 through 45, by the way, there was an option to read all the way through verse 53, but when we are given readings like, you know, that are 3 to 4 times longer than average, there is a temptation, of course, to preach 3 or 4 times longer because, after all, it would be a shame for you to miss out on the richness of God's word of promise. There are so many things to preach on in our lessons today. I mean, not just the gospel reading, but the Old Testament and the epistles, even the intro. There's so much to offer. And God's word is living and active. It speaks to our lives and the struggles we face, like Mary, Martha, and Lazarus faced. You know, people we love get sick. People that we love, people from our perspective who are kind, who are good people, who from our perspective deserve better, they get sick and they die. Because the wages of sin is death. God's word is not a collection of pious platitudes, you know, wise little sayings to put on refrigerator magnets. It's not a how-to manual with instructions leading you to live a better life. It's the history of God interacting in real places at specific times in history, and bringing real and lasting change to sinful people who are and remain under the curse of Adam. If you eat of the tree, you will surely die. The Bible is the history of how God fixed the problem of death. In our Old Testament reading, God asks Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" God answers his own question. He says, these bones will live. Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves. Ultimately, Jesus is the answer to the question, can these bones live? God's living and active word, it's not just some deep philosophy of life that elevates your awareness of spiritual things. This message is for you. Jesus says, I will open your grave and raise you from your grave. I am the resurrection and the life. It's easy for us to take God's word and his promises for granted, though. It's easy for us, like Martha, who was obviously a faithful and pious believer. It's easy for us to view salvation and the resurrection as being disconnected from Christ in the here and now. She says, oh Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She clearly believes that Jesus has power over healing, power over life and death. Even if all medicine fails, she knows that he has authority and believes. She speaks in terms of faith that few others have. She says, even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And she faithfully replies, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And even before she sees Lazarus walk out of the tomb, Martha makes a beautiful confession of faith saying, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Martha speaks with a firmness and a conviction of faith that is rarely seen. Yet when Jesus gives the order to take the stone away, Martha shows that the fullness of her understanding, it's still lacking. Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead for 4 days. She has faith, but she doesn't really understand the fullness of what Christ is doing in her life and in the life of the faithful, like her brother Lazarus. She doesn't quite understand what this all means. And in this way, she's a lot like us, if we're to be honest with ourselves. And she's certainly like the rest of Jesus' disciples. Even the 12, they don't yet understand why the Son of God came into this world and the fullness of what he is doing to rescue them and to ultimately change things completely. This is why Jesus stayed 2 days longer where he was after he heard that Lazarus was ill. He could have just said the word and sent the messenger back with the assurance that Lazarus would be healed. That's what he did when he healed the Roman centurion's servant. But Lazarus died. And Jesus says, "For your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe." He was glad that Lazarus died. I find that interesting. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, we hear the psalmist say. We heard that in our intro this morning. But this is different. Jesus is glad for another reason. If Jesus had been there, he would have healed Lazarus. But if Jesus said the word and commanded that he be healed, or if he would have arrived in time for Lazarus to be healed, or if he would have gotten there soon after Lazarus died and raised him from the dead like he did Jairus' daughter or the widow's son at Nain, the impact on the disciples and on the region of Bethany and of Jerusalem, I mean, it's only 2 miles away, it would have been different. People wouldn't have been talking about it, not the way that they did. The disciples probably would have taken this miracle for granted, because you can kind of see that that's what they were doing. They had seen him do this before. He had been healing people, opening the eyes of the blind, driving out demons, even raising the dead. He'd been doing this for 3 years. Think for a minute how absurd the concept is that the disciples would look at the miracles of Jesus, even raising the dead, as being just another day with Jesus. But that's exactly what they did. It's like the Israelites in the wilderness with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire always there. Manna every morning, except on Saturdays, because a double portion was there on Friday for them to collect. Rock, the rock that put forth the water. And still, they questioned if God was really with them and on their side. Very often the disciples, they said the right words. When Jesus speaks of Lazarus and says, "Let us go to him," Thomas boldly says, in the comfort of the friendly surroundings of the disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Well, on the Sunday after Easter, in our gospel reading, we're going to hear about how Thomas really reacted to death and the concept of the resurrection when the climate around him is less comfortable. It's a lot like you see with Peter in the upper room too, saying, "Lord, I would never deny you. I would die for you." We all know how that worked out. Thomas is the same way. When the climate is less comfortable, he says, "Unless I see his hands and the mark of the nails and put my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." when you are forced to deal with the uncomfortableness of life, which happens more days than we would like, don't take God's word for granted. It's easy to hear God's word of promise and treat it as if it's ordinary, just another day in the church. We get to hear his word or read his word anytime we want. You've got Bibles in your pews. You've got Bibles on your bookshelf at home. If you don't have one, we have stacks of them downstairs. Take one with you. We can have his word spoken to us anytime we want. We get to participate in the broken body and shed blood of Christ every weekend, three times a weekend if you like. Hearing God's word today is a big deal because it's the word of God. How absurd is the concept that there is anything more important going on today than what we are doing right here, right now? Receiving the body and blood of Christ today is a big deal because it's the body and blood of the Son of God who came into this world to fix the problem of death. The forgiveness of sins, eternal life, salvation, the resurrection of the body. It's not some mystical philosophy about the spirit world to help us through our daily troubles. Jesus offered up his real body and his real blood at a specific moment in history to be the once and final sacrifice that would cover the sin of Adam and the sin of all of us and break the curse of death for Adam and for all of us. The Son of God entered this world because he was the only one who could fix the problem of death. And we are not disconnected from Christ in the here and now. He feeds us with his word. He feeds us with the very broken body and shed blood that saves us. These bones shall live. Jesus says, I will open your grave and raise you from your grave. I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.